Grave Tone.
Welcome to Grave Tone Podcast, where horror comes to life in every form it takes. I'm Megan.
And I'm Arthur.
And I'm stressed.
Still?
I'm hot right now. Like, I feel like I need to crack a window. But we can't because it's going to make too much weird noise in the background. Not that the cats don't already fucking do that.
But, it's too cold anyways.
I could use the air. Anyway.
God, why would you use the air?
Because
tell us.
Okay, because you're supposed to use that as my segue. Because nice. We are back from seeing Obsession, if the title of the episode didn't give it away.
Right.
Yep. whew. Oh my God.
It's, yeah.
This is going to be one of those weird episodes where we're like, I have a lot to say, but I don't know how to start.
There's a lot. The format might just go completely out the window.
We're going to try to keep things very vaguely organized.
Yeah, vaguely organized.
Yeah. Yes, okay. I think that, anyone who's here obviously is aware of the hype that this film has received since it premiered, I think, at TIFF.
At TIFF 2025,
last year,
yeah.
At Toronto International Film Festival that would have been September. And then post that, it did quite a few different festivals, was my understanding. I think Southwest most recently, mm-hmm. It had another showing there, and the hype train has just continued since that point and has never ended. And
the
now we've seen it, and I can kind of understand why.
Yeah,
honestly.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The hype is real.
Yeah.
This is something you need to watch.
Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, we said that about, like, Hokum, too, and it's true that was also the case. But fucking hell. My God.
Yeah.
Whew.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Before we get into it, again, we also mentioned it all the time. Thank you very much for rating. Please do that if you haven't done it yet. It helps a lot.
And Gary is digging a grave in your honor. Thank you very much.
That's right. Right. So, Obsession. Seriously, I think this was one of the rare movies,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, like we spoke about this before,
yeah.
where people are kind of like laughing a little bit. What's the word I'm looking at?
Uncomfortable. Because they're uncomfortable. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That happened to me.
Oh, multiple
times. There were a
times.
Couple of scenes that I was like laughing on. Because I'm uncomfortable what's happening,
yes.
but you're also laughing at the same time because there's like no other way to process.
And there's also
the emotions.
It's weird. It was interesting because there are so many moments of genuine humor even within that,
yes.
uncomfortable. Like, you're supposed to laugh. You know when we saw The Mummy and we had commentary about the fact that we were like, I don't know if I'm supposed to think this is funny,
mm-hmm,
or not.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I was supposed to find it funny when
I
watched
this. Oh, yeah, in this one, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. So let me tell you, if this affected me like that in a sense, you can believe me,
yeah.
that... This movie is fucked.
Yeah. So for people who are unaware, this is a film that was written and directed by a guy named Curry Barker, who I think is 26 years
mm-hmm.
old currently.
Genius.
Seriously.
This man is a genius.
He rose to fame to a degree on a YouTube channel that he started with his friend Cooper Tomlinson called That's a Bad Idea.
Mm-hmm.
They had been doing, like, I think short films and sketches and things like that through there. It was a comedy thing. I swear the comedy to horror pipeline needs to be studied
crazy,
by people.
Yeah?
It's
yeah,
cuckoo
yeah,
nuts
yeah, yeah.
bananas. And so does the streamer or YouTuber
mm-hmm.
to horror pipeline.
Well, they had the Philippou brothers.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Exactly. The same thing they were doing. I don't think they were doing comedy, but they were doing
a bunch of crazy stuff
on
like
theirs.
Sketches, and some of them were comedy. Anyways, whatever.
We've got Kane Parsons. We've got
yep.
all kinds of shit, right? So they had been working on this for a while and then I think blew up a little bit more seriously in 2024 when they produced a 1-hour film. I believe it's about an hour long
mm-hmm.
on the channel that they released on the channel for free. You can watch it right now, called Milk and Cereal.
Yeah.
So Curry Barker had also written and directed this and starred in it as well as one of the characters. And so does Cooper Tomlinson. This one's like a psychological slasher kind of thing. I don't want to give anything else away. It's free. You should go watch it on YouTube. It's great.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And then post this, that film blowing up, which he made for like $5.
I think it got like 2 million views or something like that. So
yeah.
It did pretty well.
It did pretty well. Know? That's it. And I think it gained like a bit of a cult following.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, he was able to get a film deal in order to make what basically turned into Obsession.
Yeah.
Wow. Which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure there's a bunch of stuff that happened in between.
Oh, I'm
you
sure
know
there's
what I
a
mean?
Million things that happened in between.
But yeah, so that is kind of like the rise to fame, I guess,
yeah.
For him. The movie, like Megan mentioned, you know, premiered at TIFF.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if it's before that or after that, but anyways, there was like a bidding war on the movie for it to be for distribution rights and whatnot, et cetera, whatever it is. Apparently, it went on for like 24 hours.
I'm not even surprised.
That's how like intense people really wanted this movie.
I can only imagine, and this happens at film festivals a lot, I can only imagine the standing ovation that this movie got into.
Okay, so funny enough that you mentioned this because before the movie started, when he was like going on stage, I guess, to present it or whatever it is, people were chanting his name.
Oh, because he before has gained the a movie cult following. Started. Yeah, he had gained a cult following from the YouTube channel, from doing Milk and Cereal. People loved it. And so seeing someone have the opportunity to then transition into working on a project like this must be really exciting for people who are already fans as well, right?
For sure.
Yeah. So let me do the IMDb synopsis and we can do that initial thoughts. Digs, cast, and then we can get into the more slightly spoilery stuff when we start talking about things a bit more in detail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After breaking the mysterious One Wish Willow to win his crush's heart, a hopeless romantic finds himself getting exactly what he asked for, but soon discovers that some desires come at a dark, sinister price.
Yo, I want that One Wish Willow.
I know.
I went on the website to get it because you can get it.
They keep selling out.
It's fucking sold out all the time. God damn it. I wanted to have it on our horror shelf.
I think it's been at least twice so far that it's sold out. Yeah. Hopefully they'll restock again because I get the feeling that even for people who maybe didn't have this film for whatever reason on their radar, who like don't watch a ton of horror films or were like, man, maybe I'll see it eventually. I get the feeling this is going to blow up.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
You know how like Talk to Me, I feel did that.
Mm-hmm.
It came out. I know that there was like a following for it and there were people who were interested in seeing it, but people who didn't already know the Philippou brothers and who they were maybe kind of just went into it being like, well, I don't know, I guess we'll see how this movie is. And then they saw it and they were like, wow, what the fuck? This was incredible. And then it just blew up completely.
It blew up. And then they made the hand prop thing that we have.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
It's also a pipe. Anyway.
Don't mention that.
Yeah, I know. It's from A24. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Because I feel like we've already half given things away, but whatever. Preliminary initial thoughts coming out of the movie. How do you feel?
Like my mouth is on the floor in a sense, so there's not much I can say, I guess. It's fucked, man. Seriously, it's fucked. It's one of those that I guess you mentioned a little bit, even though we try not to talk about it on the way back and everything, that it is one of those kind of like relationship movies that everyone can relate to in a sense, you know, because it can touch you from any kind of, whether male, female, whatever, doesn't matter.
There are just so many aspects there's of the so relationships many aspects, that you're like, yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's also so fucked. And I think one of the best parts of the movie is that it does not take long to get into.
Like, no, that's true.
6 minutes in, you're in. Like shit starts going down. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's no like, oh, discover the relationship and then he's not sure and whatever. No, man, like this thing's max right from the get-go.
And it does, yeah.
Seriously, it ramps up from there and you're just gripped by everything that's going on. It does not stop.
Yes.
Like, there are parts of the movie my hands were sweaty.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like,
It's so interesting because it also, for something that does run pretty high octane for the majority of its run, it also is almost like they knew when to pull back and have slightly more quiet moments.
Yes.
Kind of sporadically sprinkled throughout the course of the film. And it was so interesting to see that somebody who, yes, has been directing shorts and doing other things, but going into a full feature like this was able to just sort of intrinsically know when to do that. I think that's fascinating.
I mean, you kind of have to do it. If not, it's just way too intense, right? And also, plus, they were doing on their YouTube channel and stuff, they were doing a little bit more of, you know, funny sketches, I guess, and stuff like this. Yeah. So, like, it kind of rolls in together with all of that.
You add those moments of levity, I guess.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, Jesus Christ. interestingly enough, one of the ideas that I was actually surprised to learn, I guess, about how this movie came about was so the inspiration for this movie apparently came to him, according to interviews and stuff, from The Simpsons.
Okay.
Yeah, there's an episode, The Tree House of Horror 2 in 1991, Monkey Paw. Monkeys, okay. The monkey's paw basically has a very similar premise. You know, you kind of like you get a this wish. Trinket, a monkey paw, whatever, and then you can get a wish or wishes and then shit goes down and everything. And it, I guess the idea or, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but it was that a lot of that idea was explored in a sense of like, careful what you wish for, careful what you wish for. But it was never or not properly done the way that he wanted it to be done, to be like, no, what happens if you actually fucking do it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it's also kind of grounded. It's not insane. It's not like, oh, yeah, I want aliens to come to Earth and take me. You know what I mean? Like, it's something completely real.
Yeah.
That could happen. And this was one of the inspirations for this.
It's apparently something that somebody would wish for, isn't it? Like, right? If you think about it, especially if they're not taking this very seriously, which most people wouldn't be, if we're honest, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And going into something like that, you'd think it was, you know, bullshit. Oh, ignore the cat. ignore our mascot. I don't even know where to start. This film had some of, I guess, the best like moments of tension I think I've seen in a horror film in the last few years, at the very least. It has it should be lauded for one of the best ensemble casts I have seen.
Oh, incredible.
In a film in a while.
They were all really good.
And that's not to say that anything else is bad, but it is to say that this one is.
Sorry about that.
Oh my God. It's sorry. So loud. Jesus Christ. It is to say that this one is exceptional. The entire cast of this film was phenomenal. Like,
give, what's her name? Indy
Navarrete.
Navarrete, give her
An
Oscar right now.
If she's not nominated for some mainstream, very major award for that would be absurd to me. Yeah.
It makes no sense. She was incredible right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going to talk about it. But yeah, she had moments where I was just kind of like, I need to get up and leave. I should go. I don't think I should be here.
Absolutely insane. Yeah. The cast and everything, everyone was really good.
Oh my God.
The story was incredible. The fact that he wrote it, did he write it?
He did.
Okay, so he wrote it.
Yep.
He directed it.
Yep.
He also edited the movie. There's like that, I don't know what it is. If you want to call it a through line or that creativity aspect of things that just flows through everything that he's touched, in a sense. You know what I mean? Because it didn't like hand it off to someone else and maybe they've changed it up too much.
Yeah, there's something about a cohesiveness that it adds to the film to have the same person doing it. Like we've seen that kind of cohesion with multiple other things before. We had a conversation, didn't we, with James Kondelik, who wrote, directed, and edited Pitfall.
Yep.
Which is getting its theatrical release at the end of this month, which is fantastic. I'm so happy for them. They were wonderful to talk to, and I really enjoyed that film, where there is this cohesiveness through it because this person is the one who has kind of like held every aspect of the project.
Of course.
And I think that this is another instance in which that comes through beautifully, really, to see the final product of it.
Yeah, it's really well done. I'm really excited for the next movie that he is working on. Apparently, I don't know if it's done already, but it's Focus who is also releasing it, which is really cool. Which is Anything But Ghosts.
Yeah, this is a film that is going to follow basically two like fake, you know, like paranormal investigator types, like the people who have like channels and stuff like that where they do that. Apparently they have to deal with actual ghosts and it sort of like brings to light like the entire sort of fraudulent nature of their business because they're confronted with an actual haunting.
Right, that's it. I think that one's a little bit more horror comedy.
I think this one's going to be a little bit more, but this one's going to have a crazy, crazy cast. So actually, according to what I'm reading, both of them are going to be in it. So Curry Barker will be starring in it, as will Cooper Tomlinson again, who also has a role this, of course. Aaron Paul is going to be in it. Bryce Dallas Howard is going to be in it as well, which is so impressive. And Violet McGraw, why does this sound really familiar as well? Oh, Ready Player One. She was in Ready Player One, that's why. And she's the little girl who plays Katie and Megan in the Megan films.
Oh, I see.
And she was also in Haunting of Hill House, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is a pretty stacked cast. Amazing. That's pretty cool.
And he's also writing the next Texas Chainsaw Massacre for it.
Yeah, he's also going to be working on the next Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Very exciting things coming from this guy.
Gosh.
I was telling Megan, he is either partially crazy or something, or he's a genius. So
it could be both.
That's all I got to say. Well, I mean, usually there's a bit of both. Dos,
you know? It could be both.
So, how many digs would you give this movie?
Fucking hell. This always happens to us because we go see the film and we come home immediately.
We're super psyched about it.
And we're like, boop, boop. And maybe it means that in some cases, if I re-examined something, I'd have a different rating for it.
Right.
But
you know what? We should do that for the 100th episode. We're going to revisit some of the best rated movies and see if we still feel and the see if same we still feel
the same way about them now.
To retcon our ratings because we're terrible.
Yeah, I think that's it. Well, so we just saw this film with our friend Stabbed and Bothered.
Yeah,
go follow him if you're not. If on TikTok, you probably awesome are content. Following him already, but if you're not, go follow him. We were lucky enough to realize that we were all going to the same showing, so that was really fun, and we met up and went to see the movie together. And I just think all of us were completely floored by it when we left the film. So so this happens, right? We come home and we're like, I'm not sitting with this. Apparently, we're sitting down to record right away. And I want to say that I'm like, oh, maybe it skews my rating sometimes. And I feel like it does. But in a case like this, with a film like this, I feel like even if I re-examined it later, mm-hmm. I will still be thinking about this movie months from now and different aspects of it. And I will re-watch it and I will find new things that I didn't get to notice the first mm-hmm. watch through. Mm-hmm. And I will be probably doubly impressed by them. It's really, really hard for me to just be like, this is the 10 out of 10. And I'm, to a degree, it might be. But I can't go under like a 9.5 gigs for this. This movie was incredible.
Yeah, I get it. I understand. I personally don't really like believe in perfect scores. I don't think anything can have a 10 out of 10. So
maybe we're very elitist, whatever, but
I don't know. I'm just saying, like, there's always some things or whatever it is, you know, like there's always a commentary to be made. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I'm not like a fucking insane critic here.
No.
But definitely, like, this is as close to extremely good as it gets. A perfect
horror film as you could have, really.
It had everything. Yeah. Seriously, I'm also at a 9.5, but it really had everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and like I said, it did have, like, that emotional impact on me. And when a movie has some kind of impact on me like this, like, I know it's doing something right, you know?
I would like to say that I laughed at multiple parts.
Yep.
I was stressed out at multiple parts and I cried once.
Mm.
So, and I know I'm a big baby, but like, I did cry at one point because of the emotional implications of the story.
Right. You got the trifecta on you.
Yep. It all worked. Anyway. Let's do cast a little bit. Let me run through cast briefly. There aren't that many characters, so I'll run through cast briefly and we can get into the spoilery bits and get into more of the meat of the plot, I suppose.
All right.
Okay. So we have our lead character named Bear. He's played by Michael Johnston. Nikki, as mentioned earlier.
Who was in
He was in Teen Wolf, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, which is fun. I'm like, wow, I haven't watched that in ages. I'd have to go back and watch it to remember who his character is. I do not recall. As we mentioned earlier, Indy Navarette plays the character of Nikki. Give that girl a fucking Oscar right now.
She was in like Superman and Lewis, I think it's called.
In the last few years, she's kind of.
She's done a bunch of other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Cooper Tomlinson, I also mentioned, is in the film. He plays the character of Ian, who's Bear's like best friend and coworker. Mm-hmm. All these people are coworkers. Megan Lawless plays the character of Sarah. Love another Megan in a movie. Yes, thank you very much. She's also great. And Andy Richter plays the character of Carter, who is Sarah's dad, who owns the music store that all of these characters work at.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because I saw Andy Richter and I was like, isn't that Andy from Conan? And it totally fucking is. He's been on Conan O'Brien for ages. I know.
It's so crazy.
That was so weird. And then we have other side characters, but majorly, that's what we're dealing with cast-wise. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, shall we get into, I guess, spoilery stuff so that we can cover plot points a little bit more. A bit of spoilery
stuff in a sense that, like, we want to talk about certain scenes. Yes. And if you don't want to know about it, I mean, come back, please.
Please.
If not, you know, it's not going to reveal any crazy aspect of the story because you really need to watch this movie.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, we just need to discuss certain things.
Yes, definitely. All right, Gary, get over here. Let's do some spoilers.
You've been warned. Spoilers ahead.
Okay, so as mentioned, obviously, in the description, vaguely, this film follows the character of Bear, who is a music store employee. He is one of these people who sort of, you know, kind of very directionless, maybe a little bit pitiful to a degree. He's hopelessly infatuated, I will say. Mm-hmm. And love and infatuation are two different things. As far as I'm concerned, I believe that he is hopelessly infatuated with his coworker, Nikki, who he has been friends with since they were children.
Yeah.
All of these people seem to have known each other since they were kids. One, evening, when searching for a gift for her, he is in one of these little, like, new agey, kooky magic shop types of places, which are so fun. I love places like that.
You love those. Yeah, I was gonna love say.
These. No, these are so great. And they're the both times that he goes to this store, the employees who are working there are hilarious. Yeah, both of them are so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he finds this little trinket called a one-wish willow, which is one of these little, like, you know, jokey sorts of things. You're supposed to make a wish and you break it. It's like a stick, basically. And you break the stick after you've made the wish, and then allegedly the wish comes true. Whatever. Mm-hmm. There are all kinds of warnings on the box that indicate that this will actually happen.
Okay, but that's like marketing.
But again, gimmicky is that, right? And like, it almost feels like a little joke. Like, and it's completely normal. Nobody would ever think of this as being something that's actually true.
Yeah, obviously.
But after kind of an uncomfortable conversation between Bear and Nikki, in which she's indicated that, you know, she's giving her 2 weeks notice. She wants to be a writer. She is moving on to other things, and he is stuck in the same place as he has been for a while. Mm-hmm. He, in a little bit of a desperate move, makes the wish and breaks the stick. And of course, obviously, as we've seen from the trailer and everything else, it leads to this actually happening.
Shit goes down.
And Nikki falling in love with him in a way that is immediately unhealthy and so very obviously not of her own choosing.
You know what's the worst thing is that he had an out. There's that scene just before he does it, you know?
Yep.
She was like, because
she'd gotten annoyed with him.
A little bit, but she was like, do you like me?
Yep.
And stuff like this, you know, because it's like weird vibes and stuff. And he like chickened out and he's like, yeah, we'll look a friend, you know. And God damn it.
Yeah, I know.
If only, you know, you had the courage to say what you were trying to say, because he was literally practicing this with his friends.
And but I mean, that's the thing, is that he doesn't do it because he doesn't want her answer. Not really. He doesn't want her real answer to know if she feels the same way or not. He doesn't want to know. Not really.
Right.
He wants to live in the fantasy in which she feels the same way, and she's also just chosen not to say anything about it.
Yeah.
Right. So what this leads to, obviously, is what starts off in, to a degree, a more sort of idyllic sense, but it is uncomfortable in many instances. What starts off is what seems like his wish has come true, very, very quickly turns into a very dark, very toxic, and very sinister sort of level of, I mean, this isn't even like a regular level of codependence, obviously, but it is something
that's wild.
Yes, man. that turns like sinister.
A curse, basically.
Yeah, that's it.
The other person.
Yeah, he's basically put a curse on her.
Yeah.
And swapped out old Nikki for a different version, mm-hmm. essentially.
But the worst part is that, like, the real Nikki or whatever it is, she's kind of like deep down
there. She's stuck in there.
Yeah.
It's seriously, like
we were watching this and I was thinking about this. I'm like, this is a non-technological fucked up episode of Black Mirror.
Kind of.
You know what I mean?
Also, this reminded me of the swapsies that you get from the people in Get Out being stuck in the sunken place and replaced with someone else.
Yes,
but they have moments of clarity
in
which they realize that they're stuck in this and they try to break free of it in some capacity. But most of the time they're so shoved down there that they cannot get out.
Yeah.
It really reminded me of that. I kind of thought of it part of the way through the movie. I was like, oh, right. It's like a sunken place thing. So
it's true.
Shall we kick things off? Maybe do you want to start with favorites? Cause that'll allow us to kind of get into more, I guess, specific bits of the film.
Yes. There's so many things. It's kind of hard to untie all of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because there's so many favorite things, but it's hard to take them apart because they have to kind of be played together with
I get you.
The rest of the movie, you know? I mean, look, obviously, Nikki's character, absolutely insane performance.
Oh,
there's a bunch of things that I, you know, it's kind of too obvious to say, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that one of the things that really affected me, I guess, watching this is all those, like, really creepy moments.
Mm-hmm.
When she's, like, a little bit too obsessed with him, whatever, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's those creepy-ass moments when she's, like, moving in a weird way, in a jerky way. That scene where she's, like, watching him sleep.
Yeah, that's the first instance. From the corner
of the room at 3 o'clock in the morning, standing there in the darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And then she does, like, this weird little shuffle thing. Yo, I was freaking out.
When So yeah, this is a specific scene that occurs a little earlier in the movie. And when it happened, and initially there is a moment in which Bear's character kind of sits up and looks around because she's not in bed with him.
Yeah.
And when he does so, it takes you a moment. It's very cleverly shot. It takes you a moment to realize that she is in the corner.
Yeah.
And I could hear people in the theater start to realize it and be like, oh shit. Like a bunch of people shifted around. Like they got fucking uncomfortable and you could feel it happening. Like the vibe shifted, the atmosphere shifted in the movie theater that we were in.
Yeah, because it's like, it's one of those that like, it's a little bit hard to see, but hard enough that at first glance you wouldn't notice it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so seriously, those scenes I think were some of the most freakiest ones that I can think of, taking away, I mean, taking the whole psychological aspect of things away from it, because that's like even more fucked up if you think about
it. For sure.
Those ones, you know, there's a couple of other scenes there.
Yep.
Insane. Absolutely insane. So the way that that was shot, the framing of it, the lighting, whatever you want to call it, like the whole aspect of that scene, wild.
Yeah, I think I have to jump on, and I guess my first favorite is partially that, and also to build on it, just in general, with regards to especially the lighting, the way that Nikki is shot throughout pretty much the entire film, but there are so many moments in which she is shot in shadow in a very particular way. There's a scene where she is having a conversation with him at his front door and her eyes glow demon, basically, when she's standing there and looking at him and playing coy and all of these things. And there are multiple scenes in which something similar to this happens. And it is phenomenal because it's a combination of like the lighting of the rest of the scene and specifically the way that this character is lit at this specific moment is just like, oh, chef's kiss, beautiful. It's so creepy. It's so sinister. It's so weird. And I was like, wow, this is like incredible to watch because you are unsettled immediately by the way that she looks at any given time throughout the course of the film, the faces that she makes in many different instances, like all these sorts of little moments of
smile when he leaves for work and she's not scheduled. And she duct taped the door and he still leaves. And then he closes the door and there's just that lingering scene on her for like a solid 30 seconds. And she's just like smiling with this fucked up, you know, like from the movie Smile.
Yes. Yeah.
Basically that.
I felt like an audition for that. You were like, she could have been in that movie.
Yo.
She would have been really good at it. Oh boy. Oof,
insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say for me, number two, again, you know, not going through the same things that a lot of people mentioned everything already. The writing, but not just of the movie itself, because obviously, you know, fucking good. The writing between the friends. So there's like, you know, like you mentioned, there's four main characters.
Brilliant. Yeah.
It was so organic.
It was. The conversations were so good. The conversations
and everything, it almost threw me back a few years. You know, when you're having these conversations, or not these specifically, but you know what I mean? How you interact with your friends, and especially when you're talking about like this girl that you have a crush on, whatever. I feel like it almost threw me back into high school a little bit. You know what I mean? Even though they're obviously not high school kids because they have a car and basically each one of them have a house.
Yeah, they're in their 20s.
Yeah. So that was so organic and so well done. The funny moments of it, you know, the more serious moments and conversations and stuff, you completely believe it. You know, you completely believe it that you would have this conversation with your friend. And if you think about it back, like, you know, for sure everyone had a crush on a girl or a boy back in the days, and they're like, oh my God, I wish they loved me and I wish we were together and stuff. And now you rethink about this after watching this movie and you're like, yeah, nah. That's fine.
Yeah, I think I'm okay.
Yeah, the way that things turned out, if you know, if you've never done it, whatever it is, you're probably like, nah, it's okay.
There were multiple moments throughout the course of the film where I was like, have these four people been friends for years? Because it feels like they have known each other for ages, the way that they speak to each other, the way that they even just like their body language around each other. Everybody just seems like they have that level of comfort that you have with people who you've known for ages. That's like it. That. And exactly. Then, like, to your point, the conversations, particularly the conversations between Bear and Ian,
Oh, well, yeah,
feel very organic.
Well, their best friend, right?
So. Yeah, that's it. They feel very organic. This really feels like, you know, like at the beginning, like trying to hype someone up to talk to a girl and all that stuff. I was like, God, this must feel very relatable for people. And I mean, every aspect of it is relatable. I feel like most of us at some point, and this is probably why so many people I think are loving and are going to love this film, is because there's such a level of relatability to liking someone who either does not share the same feelings for you or who you are not sure if they like you in return, but you just don't have the guts to pursue anything enough.
And also because you don't want to like destroy the friendship that you have, right? Because they've been friends for a very long time. Yeah. And then if you do that and it's not reciprocated from the other end, that's going to be fucking weird.
And you don't want to alienate the friend group.
Yeah.
That
and
you
then
have,
that's it, the friend group. And then things are just going to fall apart as friends and stuff. So
exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot to consider, I guess.
Yeah. That comes through, you know, throughout the course of the story and stuff. But it's true. It's really good that way. I think my second one is probably, this is really hard to explain, but my second one is probably the fear that I felt and I guess the level of like emotional turmoil that I found that I was experiencing throughout the course of watching it for Nikki's character specifically because of the moments in which like one, yes, when she tries to break through the essentially like enchantment that is on her a few times, but there are a couple of scenes in which she is suffering so much like psychologically with not understanding even in the current form that she's in how to make him happy.
Okay.
And what to do for him. And I was really, really, really affected by a few of those scenes because it just
Wait, like
the
which
way
one that, which one like an example
there's a scene in which they are in like his house together and she starts breaking down and being like, and he's like, I need you to not be like this, you're being weird, I need you to be Nikki. And she's like, I can't be Nikki, I don't know how to be Nikki. And she's crying and screaming at him, and she, because you can tell that this is like scrambled everything that she's been thinking about, and she like she's on overload with it. And it was a scene that was really uncomfortable from the particular sort of circumstance that she's found herself in. But it was also a scene that was just like, it was just so emotionally impactful from a viewpoint of if people have been in a toxic relationship of some sort and you hit that breaking point where you're like, I don't know what to do to make you fucking happy. Like nothing makes you happy. And I don't know what to do about that. And I don't know how to be this version of myself that you think that I should be when I'm not really that person.
Right.
And it was just, that's when I cried. Cause it was just like, I was like, oh God, this is just upsetting to watch.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
I felt it a couple of times. So I checked on you on a couple of times during the movie, but I was like, damn. Yeah. There's some intense scenes more from the psychological aspect of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's not too many kind of like crazy jump scares, whatever it is. Although there is a lot of
gore.
There
are definitely a few.
Yeah. Like the Curry
Barker,
he had to cut out a few. And now that, you know, I watched the movie, I understand what this means, the smashes.
Yeah.
He had to cut out a few smashes because there's a scene where someone's getting basically their head smashed in. He had to cut out a few of them to get a lower rating.
Yeah, because they had given him an NC-17, I think, initially.
Yeah, that's it. So he had to cut that out. Yeah. And, you know, I understand. So there is, yes, you know, there's good kills, I guess, if you want to call it like that, or whatever happens.
It almost feels uncomfortable to say that with the kind of movie that it is.
Yeah, that's it. But seriously, the thing that scares you in this movie is the psychological aspect 100%. Of things, because holy shit.
And it's not even just like within the space of, you know, this person suffering. It's also just because that's it. Again, a lot of it can be a relatability for a lot of people watching it who have been in maybe a very codependent relationship at some point in their life, or who have been in one of these sort of, you know, maybe horrible kind of on again, off again situations where you come back together, you split, you try to make things work, but nobody can make each other happy, or people who have started in a particular place and then have drifted apart in their relationship and no longer feel like they fit together. There are just so many implications to it. There are so many implications to Bear's character in particular, who is exactly to the point that I think that I mentioned earlier in the episode, is I believe not really in love with Nikki. He's in love with the idea of Nikki, right, and what it, yes, would mean for them to be together, because he has had an infatuation and a crush on her for a very long time. And what you get that's so kind of brilliantly shown throughout later scenes in the film are that his just natural chemistry with Sarah's character is so much more organic,
yes,
than even his conversations with Nikki at the beginning of the film before any of this shit kicks off. None of it feels uncomfortable, because this is the kind of chemistry that you should kind of have with your partner,
yeah, exactly,
to a degree, right? So his conversations with Sarah are not stressful. They're not something that makes him feel uncomfortable. He is himself.
And even if you think about that little montage that happens when kind of like, you know, with Nikki, things are working out,
yeah,
whatever it is, you know, and they have these funny moments when they're kind of like chilling and watching a movie.
It all feels so staged.
Or you know,
almost,
they're cooking together. That's, yeah, it. It feels staged.
It feels like somebody filmed it for their,
for like
their
a little
Instagram
commercial or
reel
something.
Or,
yeah,
something.
That's it, exactly.
You know, to be like, here's the day in our life as a couple. Like, it feels like couples content that you would post online.
Yes, yes,
that never,
exactly,
really feels particularly organic when people just post things like that all the time. That never feels very real. And it all it takes, which I, again, I think is really a credit to the writing, are like two conversations with, mm-hmm, Sarah's character, mm-hmm, for you to just be like, oh, look at that. That's something that just flows,
yeah,
immediately. And she clocks it as well, even when she herself says, now she has her own sort of selfish motives because she does have feelings for Bear.
Sure.
But she clocks it a couple of times when she makes comments to the effect of like, I think you might need somebody a little bit more like low-key,
and
chilled,
yeah,
out than Nikki's character, I think, even is just to begin with, even outside of all of the insanity that has occurred up until this point. So,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
For me, I would say, as a last thing to mention, it is mentioned, shown, I guess, in the trailer, mm-hmm, a little bit when he calls the hotline.
Yes.
The support, contact us,
yes,
whatever it is that is written there for the One Wish Willow, because he wants to undo it.
Yeah.
Cancel it.
Well, first he just wants to alter it because he's still,
yes,
trying to have his cake and eat it too. Let's be real.
Yes, exactly.
But that's then when he realizes that that's not a possibility and he's like, all right, fine, just cancel it then.
Yeah, exactly. So that scene, I want to say, I can't say it's my favorite because I liked the whole movie in general, but that's the thing, is that I feel like it had almost everything,
yeah,
that this movie has,
mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? It condenses the whole horror aspect and the psychological and the physical of it and the story into this whatever it was, 2-minute scene,
yeah,
and I think that was maybe one of my favorite scenes of the movie. Because he calls the hotline, right? And he's like, so first of all, the support agent is so blasé.
Oh my God, he was hilarious.
Whatever. I mean, almost fakes him out on like the fact that you can cancel it. But then he's like, well, no, you can't actually. But I thought you wanted.
Which, like, didn't it remind you of sometimes when you have a problem and you fucking call customer,
yes,
support somewhere and they're like, oh yeah, I guess the only thing to do would be this. And you're like, great, do this. And they're like, oh no, we can't do that.
Yeah,
and you're,
exactly,
like, what the fuck good are you when you just get really irritated about it? I recently had that happen when I had to like move a reservation around for a hotel.
Yeah.
That I had that exact thing happen where it was just like, oh no, you have to contact this person. You contact another department, you contact this or that, and they're like, oh no, we can't do that because they don't allow it. And you're like, what the fuck was the fucking point of this?
Ugh.
It was that's kind of what it reminded me of. It's like, wow.
Yeah. So, but that scene, because it is funny in that way, it also has very scary factors to it.
Oh God,
in,
yeah,
case of, in terms of what happens.
Yes.
So like you go from like this funny, like, oh haha, he's having terrible customer service experience,
yep,
to fucked up shit.
Oh God.
That,
yeah,
happens, and this is literally over a 2-minute phone, mm-hmm, conversation.
Where it's just good, that's it. Once the conversation comes to a close and you realize the implications of everything, you were like, oh my God.
Yeah. It really brings you into that mind place, the sunken place, I guess, of,
yeah,
where Nikki is.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yes, and what,
I feel like that movie really tied in, that scene really tied in kind of like what happens.
Well, because this customer support agent, whatever the hell he's supposed to be, right, the One Wish Willow guy, is in the deadpan delivery that he,
yes,
gives, is basically pointing out, no, you don't get to just decide now that you don't want,
mm-hmm,
this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You did this to her, so you either choose to be ignorant and happy with what you've been given from this, or, you know.
The only way to for this to end is for you to end.
Your life to end, basically.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, sure. Then you'll be, then that'll be fine and she'll be fine at that point. But he's basically just very calmly being like, you did this.
Yeah, of course.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. As I think everybody could probably tell from the trailer when everything came out, this is probably one of the best depictions of be careful what you wish for.
Oh, yeah.
That I think has ever been put to film. There have been a few, but this one is probably going towards the top of the list. And I think that people are going to be thinking about this film for a very long time after it comes out. Every sort of aspect of it, the relatability of the storyline, the type of writing that, you know, kind of flows very well, the cast, the tension that's built throughout multiple different scenes throughout the course of the film, just everything comes together to make a really, really incredible final product.
It all worked together splendidly.
Yep.
And that's kind of like what makes this so good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
100%.
It's the careful what you wish for, kind of like the whole genie thing. You know what I mean? There's always a little caveat to be like, oh, yeah, well, I want to have all the money in the world. And you have all the money in the world, but you can't use it because of X, Y, Z reason.
Okay, this is so funny. You know? This is so funny, but this reminded me of Bedazzled.
Right. Yes. Because he always had, he wished for something and then. Something else would be fucked.
The Brendan Fraser version. I'm sorry. I haven't seen the original from like the 60s or the 70s.
There was an original.
Yeah, there's an original. So it's actually a remake. But, you know, because the way that he phrases the wishes has to be so particular or it completely fucks him over in some capacity. Yeah. That is kind of what it reminded me of while I was watching it. And I was like, oh, this is funny.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the sinister version of Bedazzled.
That's exactly it. Yeah, it's exactly that. I mean, we didn't kind of get all the other possible aspects of how could things been phrased.
No.
Because he just says, I wish for her to love me more than anyone in the world. That's it.
That's it.
But holy shit, that could mean so many bad things.
And you just don't go into that thinking about the real implications. Yeah. And Bear does not. And there are many instances in which you are frustrated with him and so many instances in which you do feel sympathy for him as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he was a really, really well-written character and well-acted as well.
Yeah.
There was like, it was just incredible to kind of see him vacillate between all of these different sorts of moments that he experiences in the film. Yeah,
exactly.
Anyway. Yeah. I really like, what else can we say? I don't really think we have a bad thing to say about it. Honestly,
wild. Go watch it.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
And I think we're going to be thinking about this movie for a while and man, oh man, are we getting treated in this month of May? Let me tell you, because so far this month we've gotten Hokum, we've watched At the Place of Ghosts, and now we've had Obsession. So all of this is really ramping me up to see how the rest of this month goes with all the types of releases that we're getting. I'm so looking forward to everything else that we're getting this month.
It's one of the craziest months of horror in most recent years.
Yeah. I can't think of another one where we've gotten this type of these types of releases this close to one another. This is wild. So this is going to be a crazy month, and I can't wait to see how everything shakes out.
We'll see.
Yeah. Anyway, in the meantime, obviously, in between all of this, you can obviously follow us on all of our socials. We're at Gravetone Pod everywhere. Feel free to check out the website as well at gravetonepod.com. We have a little horror movie picker quiz on there. We're regularly adding some of our top picks to it as well.
That one's going in there right now.
Oh, yeah. This one will be on there too. But you can take that little quiz if you're looking for something to watch. Feel free to, you know, keep up with all of that. Episodes are all posted on there as well. Oh my God, what's coming out next week? I don't even remember. Passenger?
Doesn't matter.
We'll be there. So. There'll be something else coming out that we're going to talk about. So that's really exciting. Hopefully we'll have a little bit of time to drop our interview with Rye Barrett in there somewhere too. I'm hoping before the end of this month. So we're going to do that as well. And we've got a bunch of other stuff that we're kind of lining up too. So until next time, guys, stay scared and stay tuned.
Ciao, guys.